Go to Matthew 6. I've been all over this chapter. So, Matthew 6, you're going to see something tonight that's amazing. Because in reality, this teaching, he doesn't change the subject all the way through. He's talking a lot about how to receive from heaven, how to prosper from heaven, how to increase, how to receive from the Father, how the kingdom works versus the world. And he speaks it. He talks about the Lord's Prayer, which we've been into a lot, but he keeps going along the lines, and he's teaching how the kingdom works in conjunction with the Lord's Prayer. Now, we know the Lord's Prayer is not a recital, Our Father which art in heaven. I mean, you can do that, but that's not really what it is. That's not where the impact is. It's actually different components of prayer. He begins with, of course, the position of prayer, which is, if you'll stay with that position throughout the whole chapter, he's going to show you how to receive from the kingdom. He's going to differentiate it from the world, and how the kingdom works versus the world system. And so the first thing he says, we should know this by now, is when you pray, enter into what? The closet. So Matthew 6:6, when you prayest, and you have to prayest. You have to prayest. When you prayest, he says, enter into your closet. Enter in the sanctuary. Inner sanctuary. That closet is the inner sanctuary, the inner chamber of the kingdom of God. That's position. We know this. And he says, when you've shut the door, now that means there is a jurisdictional transfer there. You've moved from one place to another. You've shut a door. Now, if you're talking about kingdom, you shut the door to the world. In other words, when we pray to the Father, we can't be praying in the adversity or the agitation or the anxiety of the world. Listen, you live in the world. You do business in the world. You're going to get certain things of the world. It's a certain atmosphere that comes with the world. And sometimes it's hard to shut that atmosphere down. Sometimes when you're praying, that atmosphere is on you. How many of you ever prayed and you've got that on you, and it's like you can't sit still there? Your mind can't sit still. The hard part of entering in the kingdom is getting that mind still, because you can't get that mind still. You can't get it under subjection. It'll stay out there, starting to solve today's problems or issues or even a general excitement. And you realize the kingdom is a whole different realm than what governs this world. The kingdom is very still. It has no fear in it anywhere. The Lord never operates by fear. He doesn't think by fear. He doesn't operate by fear. So he's operating in a state of rest that's completely 100% contrary to the world system. The world system is governed with anxiety and the lack of stillness, agitation, activity. Never sit still. Amen. It's hard to sit still in the world system we live in. It's hard to be still. We constantly hear from the word, be still, be still, be still, be still. I heard a preacher, I can't remember who he was, I was watching him on TV. He's a national preacher. He says, I practice stillness all day because I can never hear from God when I'm busy. I never try to hear from him because I'm practicing stillness. I said, you should call me. I'll show you how to get there. Praise God. Amen. You don't have to practice stillness. You enter in the stillness. Stillness is the kingdom. The kingdom is stillness. So when you pray, enter the sanctuary, shut the door. There has to be a shutting of a door. That's not a natural door. It's a spiritual door. It shuts out the world. He says, get far enough in where the world's not following you. Amen? If you're between two doors, you got one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom, your mind's there too. And you're tossed, see? When you get like that, you're not positioned properly. So position is foremost. Amen? And notice what he says, pray to your Father which is in, wherever you just shut the door to, he's there. He's there. You're in his presence now. You're in the presence of the Father. And your Father, and thy Father which is in secret, he sees you there. See, he sees you. Well, God sees me everywhere. Yeah, but he says he wants to see you in the secret place. I know he sees you, but he seeth you in the secret place. He's got to see you there, because that's where you pray to him. Amen? Then he rewards you openly. Now, understand something. God is a rewarder. You got to start saying that during the day, because a lot of people don't believe God is a rewarder. Put your hand over your heart and say, Father, you're a rewarder. You're a rewarder. He says, you're a rewarder. He'll openly reward you. He'll openly reward you. It's okay to believe that your Father rewards you. See, the difference is the Father wants to reward you instead of you rewarding you. Or more importantly, the world rewarding you. The world will reward you as well. If you serve it, it'll reward you. If you serve the kingdom will reward you. And he's going to actually talk about that as he goes. So he begins to talk about the Lord's Prayer, our Father, which art in heaven, intimacy. Hallowed be thy name, worship, intimacy. That's a whole component of prayer. And then you get into the jurisdictional transfer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Kingdom come, thy will be done. All this is done from position, amen? Thy will be done. Give us this day our daily bread, a whole nother component of prayer, amen? I want to get into the download here in a minute. And he said, notice what he says here, forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation. That's a prayer. You should pray. There are seasons the enemy is going to tempt you. Abnormally bring temptation to your life. He's going to stand at the gates of your life. It'll be an abnormal temptation. It won't be normal. You know, in the normal times, you don't really bother you. But then there's times where he is coming after you. And that's the time when you're in that kind of season to pray to the Father. Lead me around his assignments for me today. Lead me around. Get me around him. Don't let me walk right in the middle of it. How many walk right in the middle of something? I'm like, dang, I didn't mean to. You walk right in the middle of it. He'll smack you around if you do that. God will lead you around the temptation. Amen. Lead us not. It's a meditation, but deliver us from the evil. See, God wants to deliver. All these are components. Forgive. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. He says, forgive. Forgiveness is done from the position of the Father. If you're having an issue forgiving somebody, forgive them in the presence of the Father. If you'll learn to do that, you'll unlock the trespasses. If people could learn to forgive in the presence of the Father, they'd carry so few trespasses. Will be in the body of Christ. That revelation alone. A lot of people's problems is because they're locked up in trespasses and they're trying to deal with this stuff in this jurisdiction. It doesn't work very well. In the presence of the Father, there's power, love, dunamis. There's all kinds of things at your disposal to help unlock that. Because sometimes it's not just a matter of forgiving. Sometimes it's a trespass that's wrapped around your life. It's a spirit that came when someone did something violently or betrayed you in areas, and that betrayal spirit will come and create a trespass, that thing's got to get unlocked. Sozo will unlock it. But these are times you can unlock it in the presence of the Father. Amen? All that's done in the presence of the Father. So he deals with the whole Lord's Prayer and all the components of that. Now watch what he gets into. This is really powerful. He gets into fasting. Then he starts saying this, and this is where this download came today. I never saw this before. Some of you scholars have probably seen this, but I've never seen this before. Look at verse 22. Because he's talking about kingdom transference, right? Now, you know, this is the chapter, by the way, that he talks about the fowl of the air and the lily's grace. It also talks about, at the end, seek first the kingdom of God. This whole thing is talking about how you're going to function in the kingdom versus functioning in the world. Now, watch what he says. It's very powerful right here. He said, the light of the body is the eye. That's how you see. Amen? But he's actually talking about how you see in the kingdom. Therefore, thine eye be single. Say single. Your whole body will be full of light. Now, what does he mean by that, if your eye be single? Focus. That's good. Because actually, you want to, I just saw this. And when I looked it up in the Thayer's, you know what it said? It says, if thy eye be good, fulfilling its office. Say, fulfilling its office. What is your eye? And he's not talking about this natural eye. He's talking about the spiritual eye. Is your spiritual eye fulfilling its office? Is it focused? Is it where it's supposed to be? Is it looking at the right thing? Is it watching? Beholding? Is it being fed the proper light? Is your eye single focused, set in fulfilling its proper office? Then if it is, your whole body, you're going to walk in light. In other words, you are going to walk in the light of the kingdom in a world with darkness. You're going to see things others will not see. You're going to understand things others will not understand. You'll walk in a high place and won't be constantly struggling all the time. You'll be walking in peace and rest, and the blessing of God will be on your life. And you won't struggle. Now, here's you're going to like this. You ready for you like this? Oh, I like this. Because he just started highlighting this. Well, somebody was, it was like during, while Anna was speaking to him, he started highlighting, and he said, verse 23, but if thine eye be evil. Do you know what the word evil means? And the Thayers? Are you ready for this? Watch this. It means, if thy eye be full of labor, if thy eye be full of annoyances, if thy eye be full of hardships, if your eye is full of the world system, your body is going to reflect it. Your spirit's going to reflect it. Your walk is going to reflect it. Every part of your area is going to reflect the annoyance that you're looking at, the hardships you're looking at. Oh, I know, and I was just downloading. If your eye be full of labors, then you're going to operate in the labor of the world system. If your eye be full of the kingdom, you're going to operate in the kingdom. Because the light of the kingdom's coming through the spiritual eye gate. Whatever you're looking at is how you're going to operate. If you're looking at the world and the world's controlling the spiritual eye gate, guess what? It's going to pull you in to a lifestyle of labor, hardship, and annoyance. How many of you ever had undue seasons of annoyance? Spirit of annoyance shows up. Spirit of annoyance is because it has certain parts of you annoying you. If you're getting annoyed, it's probably because you're some part of you is tied to annoyance. There is annoyance in the world. There's frustration. But in the kingdom, there is none. There's no annoyance in the kingdom. Kingdom doesn't have annoyance. The kingdom doesn't have anything that violates its own atmosphere. The kingdom is full of rest. The kingdom is full of peace. If your eye be single on the kingdom, guess what? It's going to show up in your body. It's going to show up in your spirit. It's going to show up in your soul. It's going to actually show up in your walk. It's going to show up in relationships around you. It'll show up in the church. It'll show up in your business. You'll operate in business according to what's inside, what kind of light you're walking in. And I'm not talking about the eye gate light. I'm talking about the spiritual eye gate light. If you're not walking in kingdom light, then what's happening in the world system will start flooding the spiritual eye gate. And what it'll do is it'll pull the soul, and your body, and your spirit start feeling the effects and operating by the effects of the world system. Annoyance, hardship, full of labors. Everything becomes a drudge at that point where you don't want to go to church and listen to somebody like me. I don't want to get up anymore. How many of you got up? I don't want to get up and do this anymore. Because your eye gate has been pulled into the wrong direction. There is a time when you're plugged into the Father. I couldn't wait to wake up. There was a time when I was so plugged in. I'm getting back in there. Hallelujah. I'm getting back. Praise God. I had a big old leap today. Hallelujah. Nobody does it perfect. If you find anybody, have them come talk to me. Praise God. I want to meet them. Hallelujah. Except Carlos. We know Carlos. So there's a time you can't wait to wake up and move in because your eye gate is so thick. On him. It's so fixed into his word. It's so fixed into the spirit. It's so in tune. You can't wait. And so your whole spiritual body becomes full of light. Your soul, your mind, your heart, your walk, the arena of your life, your outlook on life. And so the world system is not flooding into you because it does not own your eye gate. But if your eye be full of hardship, it's because the eye has gone into the world system and it's pulling on you. Doesn't have to be sin. It can just be the effects of the world system, but it'll flood you. Amen. He's talking about how to receive from the kingdom here. Because he started about the Lord's Prayer. He says, if you're positioned properly, your eye will be single. If you're positioned in the Father, your eye will be single. It'll be whole. It'll be what? Operating and fixed on its office. What is it? Fulfilling its office. You have a God-ordained office to fulfill. Amen. To be fulfilled. And it'll be fulfilled. Say, fulfilled. Isn't that good? Now notice what he says right after this. Because he's talking about finances and how to receive from the kingdom versus the world. Look at the next verse. He's not changed the subject. He's talking about how to receive from the kingdom. He says, if your eye is single, you're going to fulfill its office. The kingdom will flow. But if it be full of hardship, annoyance, and labors, tumultuous labor, then what's going to happen? It will begin to pull that way. And now what he says, no man, verse 24, see how he's not changed the subject? Now he's going to get deeper. Jesus is deep. Because he lives in a realm that's not of this world, so everything about him is deep. No man can serve two masters. You can't serve it. You either hate the one or love the other, hold the one or despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Everybody knows what mammon is, right? If you don't know what mammon is, raise your hand. Mammon. Mammon is the power of money. The power that's in money. The dark side. The Darth Vader. The dark side. That controls mammon. Money. Listen, it's the love of money that's root of all evil. Money itself. But it's the attachment. But he's saying you can't serve. He's not telling you can't have it. He's actually telling you how to receive. He says, listen, in the world, you can't serve God and serve that too, because your eyes are going to be full of tumultuous labor, and you're going to get in the world system, and you're going to constantly intertwine in the world system out of alignment with the kingdom. You're not going to be able to receive from God having a heart totally bound in the world. You can't love it, see. It's a condition of the heart. The eye gate, the heart gate, all has to align. But if you love God, he'll show you how to receive from him. See, God, people don't understand this. God wants people to prosper. He just doesn't want you prospering from the source of the world. The world ultimately has got to give up its finances. I'm not talking about that. He does not want you. He wants you to receive from him. Not the world's way, his way. There's a kingdom way, there's a world way. The world's way is full of tumultuous labor. You can prosper in the world. But the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and adds none of that sorrow with it. See, say none of that sorrow. And when God's training you, really training you, and sometimes if your river's dried up and you're wondering why your river's dried up, it's because God's trying to teach you how to do it another way. A kingdom way. Because in Proverbs, it says riches can take wings and fly away like an eagle. But God promises durable riches. Say durable riches. Ones that are solidified by the kingdom, given by the kingdom, operating by the kingdom, that can't be taken. And they'll increase and they'll multiply, but it's still got to be done God's way. Amen? And when you're learning this, one day you'll be over here, one day you'll be over here, and then you're catching yourself. I can't do it this way anymore. I got to do it God's way. So there's a whole lot of surrender. What you're doing is you're emptying the eye gate of the world. Do you understand by that? It's not these eyes. It's a spiritual eye gate. It has such an attachment. You got to empty that, empty that, empty that. So when you're praying, you're not full of the anxiety of the world. How many of you ever pray? Listen to me very carefully. Listen. Listen. How many of you ever praying and the world is just filling, flooding your mind? The eye gate is too attached to the other system. And the hardship, the labor, the toil, the anxiety that's coming from the world that's flooding in, you haven't detached it. But you have the power to loose that. You have the power. Sometimes, listen to me, people just don't sit long enough and allow the Lord to make that exchange. They're too much of a hurry. How many of you ever get in too much of a hurry? And so when you get in too much of a hurry, you don't allow him to make that exchange. So you just walk out and you're just continually feeding the other system. But if you'll wait, sometimes I get it by waiting. I'm sitting praying, my mind is all over the map. I deal with that too. And I mean, I'm trying to get centered. I'm trying to get what I'm using all the spiritual tools I've got. And it's still over there. And I'll just wait. I'll just keep bringing it back. And then what happened? That shift will come. I mean, you know, when that shift comes, he comes and just, sometimes it feels like a big veil is lifted off. He lifts the veil and boy, that peace comes in. That rest comes in. That stillness comes in. When that comes in, nothing's penetrating that veil. That's the arena and the atmosphere of the kingdom. Now my eye gate, my heart gate is all in alignment now. Amen. It's fulfilling. It's off. It's set properly in the right atmosphere. And now you're ready for the kingdom to release. Amen. Sometimes you got to wait for him to move you over there. Sometimes you're 5 minutes away. How many of you ever, I'm trying to explain something he's trying to get over to you. How many of you ever been praying and it's like you feel like you don't have to get up, but you feel like you got to get up. I don't have to get up. There's nothing pressing for me to get up, but something inside me just can't sit still today. I got to get up. How many of you ever happened to? Exactly. You got to get, see, you don't realize, but that is something in the flesh gate that's tied to the world, and it's pulling. And you don't understand that pull is sometimes not natural. It's not a spirit sometimes. It's just general flesh. You don't want to sit down. It's unsubmitted. The eye gate. See, and what God wants to do is he wants to call that severance. If you'll just wait sometimes, if you have the time, wait it out. Continue to stay focused, and you'll feel that lift off of you. And when you do, clarity comes. Rest comes. Peace comes. Joy comes. Wow. Thank you, Lord. The burden was lifted. Come unto me, all that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Because if you're going to do it my way, it's going to require rest. It's going to require a whole different atmosphere than the one of the world. Amen? If you don't get it, you spend your whole life in that constant grind of the world. God is not a grinder. That'll preach right there. God is not a grinder. God doesn't grind. God is smooth. Everything he does is smooth. God is oil. He's smooth. Everything he does is smooth. We grind. God doesn't grind. I have to preach that to myself sometime. God is not a grinder. Amen. Okay, so you see that? Get the eye gate. Now watch what he does. Right after that, he says, no man can serve two masters. You can't do it. Serving the master of the world, you're going to have to get the eye gate fixed. Get it back into the kingdom. Set on the kingdom. Set in the word. Set in the Lord. Set in the light. All right? Now what's he does? Now that's what he does. Verse 26. Behold, the fowls of the air. Well, now watch how they don't sow or reap. They don't even get to participate in sowing and reaping or storehousing. They don't get to go to a job like you do, so reap a paycheck and put it into a bank account. They don't get to do that. And yet, your Father's feeding them. Can he not feed you? If he can feed them, can he not? You don't walk around seeing birds laying over all over the dead everywhere. When I go to HEB at certain seasons, those blackbirds are everywhere. I mean, those guys, if you ever seen it, they'll just fill the sky. You never see them kind of dead everywhere. God's feeding them. He can feed you. They don't even get to participate in God's feeding them. And then he gets into the what? He's still talking about kingdom. Then what's he gets into? The lily's grace. Say the lily's grace. My favorite place outside the Father's love. The garden of the lilies. Moses says, why take you thought for clothing? Consider the lily. He's talking about how to receive. He's talking about how to receive the food for the. He's just giving you natural things you receive from the world. He says, why you take thought for the clothing? Consider. Say consider. Meditate. Diligently consider the lily. That's how he got me into that. How they grow. How does the lily grow? It does not toil. And it does not spin. And that's when he introduced me to the lily's grace. And that is a major component of receiving from the kingdom of God. When the Lord was talking about this, he was just using something in the natural to describe an arena of his kingdom. He said, not even Solomon can be clothed like this lily. I'll give you something in the natural to describe how my kingdom is. My kingdom is not like yours. It's not like the world. I don't operate like that. Here's where I operate. That's what he's saying. This is where I operate from this position that we don't toil in the kingdom like the world does. If your eye be single, you'll understand that. But if your eye is full of tumultuous labor, you'll never understand this realm. That's what he's trying to say. If your eye is not set on me, you're not going to operate like me. If your eye is set on the world, you're going to operate like the world. If your heart focus, that's a better word for it, is set on the world, you'll operate like the world. If your heart focus is set on me, I'll teach you how to operate like me. Amen. He says, because this is how we operate. We don't toil and we don't spend. Boy, when you move into that realm of the lily's grace, to lay down in that garden. We do this on Tuesday mornings. Oh, when I get there, that's how I survive ministry. That's how I survive life. If I carried the burdens of life, oh, we would be buried. We don't have to carry them. That's where I unload and live in a place that has no burden whatsoever. Because when I'm in there, he starts talking about it. I mean, he's told me more things about a lily than I could ever imagine. I'm in there laying down and he goes, how much burden do you think a lily could carry before it's bent over? You think a lily could even withstand 1 pound of burden? It would bend over under 1 pound of burden. It lives a burden-free existence. You know what he said today? I was in there today. And I saw it. It wasn't open. It was closed. And I'm watching, because the lily will have the pod, and then that pod will open. And I saw it just open. He says, how much effort do you think that lily's exerting to open? Once it's open, and what he meant by that, he goes, I want to teach you how to open the kingdom of God to the world effortlessly. He goes, it does it effortlessly from a position of perfect harmony. It effortlessly opens its office, its love, its beauty to the world. Say effortlessly. In a position of perfect stillness, perfect rest. It's trying to describe how the kingdom works versus the world. Yes, you go labor. Yes, you go out into the world, but you're not laboring under the system. And that's what he's trying to say. He goes, when my blessing comes, it won't be like the world. You cannot love the world and have your eye gate and your heart gate filled with the world and think that you can operate in my kingdom. He's not talking about salvation. He's talking about kingdom transference. He goes, we don't do it like this. You see that? He goes, we do it from another realm. If I can get you in the realm, if I can get you up into the rest and the peace, to dwell in the beauty of the Lord, you'll freely open and you'll release the fragrance of your calling to the world. You'll release it freely. Too many people are trying to strain to release. I need a big open door to get me to release. All you got to do is get in front of the Lord. He'll teach you. He'll open it. It's already inside you. The treasure. Where your heart is, your treasure is. If you're with him, he said that in that chapter 2. If you're with him, he'll be your treasure. And when he opens you, when he opens, the increase will come out without effort. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and without what? No sorrow. No tumultuous sorrow will come with it. It'll be freely releasing without tumultuous sorrow. Amen. Now listen, nobody's going to do this perfectly. So you have to just catch the heart gate when it's in the wrong place and start learning to pull it on over. Move it into submission. Move it into the presence of the Father. That's why he started with the position. Move it into the presence of the Father. See, as you learn to do that, you'll start learning how to operate. I have a word tonight for some, many of you, I think. You're on the verge of great, great blessing. In your life, a great breakthrough. I feel that the way you used to operate is shifting now. And what you're trying to do is go back to operate the way you used to. It's not working anymore. It used to work all the time. But now it's not working. Because God is elevating you to operate in a kingdom level that you're not accustomed to operating at that altitude yet. But he's training you. And what I hear him saying is stop going back to the old way of doing it. That worked for you for a season. There's a new way now. It's a highway. It's a highway of Zion. Blessed are those whose heart is the highway of Zion. They will go from strength to strength. They will go from glory to glory. They will go. It's all about the heart gate. Amen? Now consider the atmosphere of operating with me from a position of rest. The day he stepped into Peter's boat, he knew exactly what was happening. He knew what was going to happen. He knew he was going to preach the gospel. He knew he was going to take him out in the deep. He knew where the fish were. He knew everything. He was operating in a different arena. He knew Peter was going to experience the blessing of a lifetime that day. It was going to change his life. And that kind of blessing, I truly believe, is being reinstated in the body of Christ. And not little blessings. I'm talking about generational blessings showing up. I mean, filling the boat kind of stuff. The stuff you look at like, whoa! That kind. Amen? He's still not done. But I'm about done. Amen? Not even Solomon in all his glory like is arrayed like one of them. Oh, man. Do you know Jesus has coats that are made out of lilies? He'll put it on you. I don't believe that. Well, it doesn't matter, but he does. There's a lot in that garden. There's a coat made out of one whole. If he can make a gate out of pure pearl, he can make a coat out of one lily. A crown. He crowns you, clothes you. Oh, just the beauty of that stillness. The beauty of that kind of rest. The beauty of a burden-free state of pure rest. The world would pay billions for that. Because they don't have rest. The world has billions, but they have no rest. They have no peace. They can't sit still. It drives them. Do you know that most people that have that kind of money live in fear? It's a different kind of fear. It's not fear of lack. It's fear of losing it. And their whole life is governed with fear because they can't lose what they've gotten. But if you're in this place, there is no fear because you're not operating out of fear. Fear is foreign to the kingdom of God. Amen. I want the kind of riches that come, the durable riches, the durable wealth that comes from the kingdom that adds no fear or sorrow with it. Amen. All right. So isn't it amazing how he taught? Now notice how he crowns the chapter. And he says, now take therefore no thought what you shall eat, what you shall drink, how you will prosper. Don't think. Take no thought about all of this. Watch this. But then when he says, take no thought, he's not talking about, listen, you're going to have thoughts on it. Understand what he's saying. Don't take a tumultuous thought that's laden with fear and anxiety, driven by worry. Don't live in a state of worry about how all this is going to unfold. Because in the kingdom, if you're in the kingdom, it won't be there anyway. But if your eye gate's in the world, you'll be full of it. You'll be worried all the time. If you're a worrier, it's because your eye gate is attached to worry. It's a product of the world system coming out of fear. You got to break that heart gate. See. Now, what does he says here? He gives you, look how he crowns it, but seek first. Seek first. Say, seek first. The kingdom of God and his righteousness. Put the kingdom first, and all the things will be added to you. See the order? If you'll seek first, fill the heart gate with the kingdom of God, all of that will be added. But if you put this first, the world first, the kingdom second, the world's going to flood your heart gate. And if the world floods your heart gate, it's coming with the oppressions and the anxieties and the annoyances of the world. And you're going to live in a state of annoyance. Seek first. Say, seek first. The kingdom. Then it'll be added freely. Added. Therefore, take no thought. Don't take the tumultuous thoughts of worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of the things of itself. Sufficient is the day of the evil thereof. Just live with God today. He'll unravel it for you. Amen. Commit it, roll it, He'll bring it to pass. You see the wisdom there in His teachings? How many of you, the Lord spoke something to you tonight? Raise your hand. Share, He spoke something, an adjustment. See, one adjustment can open the door for you. If you'll adjust the heart gate, it'll open the kingdom door for you. What I sense in my spirit is the heart gate is the big issue here. Amen? Lord, to get that heart gate in the right place. Lord, grant us grace to align the heart gate. Grant us grace to realign and align the heart gate to the kingdom. I'm realizing, Lord, the kingdom only works when we're properly positioned. The kingdom works from a kingdom position. Align our heart gate into peace. Align our heart gate into rest. Align our heart gate into the grace that comes from the lily. Align our heart into harmony in the kingdom of God. We give you all the glory. All the praise. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah.